Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The last verse of chapter 1 of the book of James gives us two examples of God-honoring religion. We read, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. These are very instructive, and we launched into them on the broadcast yesterday, and we will continue looking at them today. So we are grateful for this opportunity to gather together around the Word of God by means of radio on this Tuesday, March 20, and we are also very grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Okay, two examples of God honoring religion. The first one is the help of the needy, to help the needy. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Now, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, to visit means more than simply to pop in and say howdy. It has a much more substantial meaning than that, as you trace it in other usages in the New Testament. And we realize it means to offer practical aid. So to visit orphans and widows in their trouble means to visit them with a view to help them in their trouble, to help them with their particular difficulties. Now, all of this needs to be thought through a little more carefully. What James has picked out here are two members of society that are almost always in difficulty financially, at least in that first century, namely orphans and widows, because, well, for a number of reasons, but because on the one hand, there were no government programs in that day. This is one of the things I find myself saying from time to time to those people who try to imply that if we really cared about the poor and the needy, then we would support an expansion of government social programs. And they will often cite texts like this one and other ones in the Bible where God admonishes his people to show care for the needy in society. And I keep coming back and saying, but nowhere does it say that this is the responsibility of government. All of these admonitions are to individuals to act personally and individually and, where appropriate, collectively as a local church, perhaps, and maybe some local community endeavors. But there really is nothing anywhere in the Bible that I can find where governments are admonished to take on this kind of responsibility. Not even in Old Testament Israel. Now, what the government did do, or at least what the society was told to do in the case of Old Testament Israel, was, for example, farmers were not supposed to harvest all of their crops. They were supposed to leave the corners of their fields, and there were other provisions where they were to leave a certain measure of fruit on the trees and so forth, so that the poor and needy could come and harvest that produce. And presumably, those stipulations ought to be enforced by civil government, though I don't know any instances recorded in the Old Testament where they did. But nevertheless, that would be as far as you could go. And those were not occasions where government extracted taxes from the people and then used those taxes to redistribute to the needy. You won't find that anywhere that I could find in the Bible. If I'm wrong, please show me. In that particular case, the one I just cited, it was a provision for individuals, but a requirement for individuals, maybe stronger than provision, a requirement for individuals to leave some produce in the field so that the needy could come and gather it. In other words, to give them an opportunity to work, to supply their own needs. Those who didn't have fields, those who didn't have farms, those who didn't have vineyards, those who didn't have orchards, those who didn't have land, those who didn't have a place where they could sow seed and a place where they could grow fruit trees, those who had been blessed by God with these provisions, were to just leave a little bit in the field so that people like this could come and have a small harvest of their own. Not large enough to resell, make any profit on. There wouldn't be that much left in the field. They weren't going to go into competition with the very farmer whose produce they were harvesting. But a provision for them to be able to go and gather some food, if they were willing to do it. You say, well, if they weren't able-bodied, then what? If they were too sick to do it? Well, then somebody else should step in and do it for them. And that's the kind of thing that you find here in James 1:27. It's perfectly appropriate to do that. I think of the example in the book of Ruth of Ruth doing this on behalf of herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi didn't go to glean in the field of Boaz. And gleaning is exactly what is going on there. So the practice that was stipulated in the Pentateuch was still being practiced in the book of Ruth. And Naomi didn't go and gather grain, but Ruth went and gathered for both of them. Why didn't Naomi go? The Bible doesn't tell us. Could have been for a number of reasons. It could have been a choice on her part and Ruth's part. Ruth may have said, I'm able to do it, and I can gather enough for both of us. So it may or may not have been that Naomi absolutely was not able, but it's very likely that Naomi was not as able as Ruth, and so Ruth did it for both of them. And in many cases, that's exactly the way it works. Here's a member of a family that's disabled. Other members of the family pitch in and carry the load. And the Bible tells us that that's the way it ought to go. It starts with the family. The responsibility begins with the family and then moves beyond the family to another circle of help that's not very far away, still local. For example, in 1 Timothy, Paul says that if a man doesn't take care of his own, especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The first responsibility to care for widows and orphans are the relatives of the widows and the orphans. Only if they don't have any relatives does the church take that responsibility. And even there, please note in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the church is not supposed to take on that responsibility for all widows, not for all the widows in the community, but for widows in the church who have been godly and exemplary. Read it. It's not the blanket sort of thing that you just, that people ought to be helped simply because they're needy. That's not really what the scriptures teach. Sometimes you read a verse like this one in James 1:27, and that's the impression you get, but of course this is a condensed version. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 to get some more detailed instructions for the care of widows. But widows were the members of society in the first century that were often in financial need. and orphans, often in financial need. But, of course, not all widows were poor. You can find some examples of widows in the Bible who had substantial financial resources. So the fact that here James says pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows, does that mean that every widow has a claim upon this instruction? No, because it goes on to say widows in their trouble. In other words, as Paul puts it in 1 Timothy chapter 5, widows indeed. That's his way of saying widows who don't have other resources. Widows who don't have a family that can take care of them. Where it really gets awkward, in my mind, and my experience, is when you've got a widow who obviously is in need, who's got a family who ought to take care of her, and they won't. Then what do you do? Well, if the family's in the church, they should be instructed to take care of their widow. But in most cases, that's not the case. You've got a widow, maybe a widow in the church, and she's got family who could take care of her if they would. They have the means, the resources, and certainly the God-given responsibility, but they refuse to take their responsibility. She's in need. Now what? Well, I guess she would fall into the category of a widow indeed, because she's been abandoned by the ones who have the responsibility to care for her, because they're not in the church, presumably are not Christians. They have abandoned their responsibility, and so the church needs to step up and offer some help. Now, again, things get complicated in our day because there are government programs, and so nobody in the United States of America has any reason to be completely destitute. We do have a pretty substantial safety net, or social net, safety social net, as it's sometimes called. So that has to be taken into account too. I've actually heard some people teach, well, the Christians, the churches ought to reject that help and take care of these things entirely on their own. Well, I don't agree with that. I think it would be better if the government had never started down this path. I think churches and, well, families first, and churches second, and local communities third, are in a much better position to do this in a helpful way than the government is. But when the government is doing it, of course, the government is soaking up substantial resources from the citizens who are working and earning income. And so that all has to be taken into account. What is this widow's resources? Is she taking advantage of all of the resources that are legitimately available to her? When that has been explored, then we figure out where she is. In other words, is she a widow indeed because her resources that are available to her are not sufficient? Or is she a widow in need because she's not taking advantage of the resources that are available to her? That's one place where people can come in to help and help connect people to the resources that are available. That's where you begin, and then you see what else is needed, and you step in and help. That's what this text is teaching. We'll look at it again tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.